Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 8:12 on this... Good Saints winning Monday, LSU winning Monday. Tim Temple joins us now, Commissioner of Insurance of the great state of Louisiana. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Good that the football teams won. Not so good that the hurricane came through last week. Good news is that the tropics are quiet for the next 10 days, which would get us to September 26th, and every day is a win, right, at this point?
Yeah, that's right. Look, you know, we it looks quiet for the next 7 to 10 days, but I mean, as we all know, it only takes one.
That's
so
right.
We're not out of the woods yet, and we've still got a ways to go. But
it was quiet.
It was
quiet up until last week too. So yeah, just with that in mind, tell me what we know now, Tim. That in terms of insurance and claims, we didn't know before a week ago this time when the storm passed. How many people were impacted?
Yeah, Tommy. Yep, I think as we discussed last week a little bit, you know, this is looking to be more of a flood. That most of the claims it's looking like are going to be coming from flood claims, whether it's a flooded property or flooded automobiles. I'm talking with the insurance companies, and it seems that those types of claims are outpacing property damage. And I think, you know, part of that, as we discussed, is, you know, after Ida over on this side of the state, I mean, we've had hundreds of thousands of new roofs put on. And those roofs, as you would expect, a newer roof would perform better during a hurricane. And by all accounts, it did. So certainly not saying people didn't, you know, experience damage. I was down again in Houma, both Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish yesterday, visiting some of the insurance claim centers that are being stood up. And visiting with those folks and some of the claimants that are coming through there. And there are property damage claims, certainly, but by far, I think we're going to be looking at either, you know, NFIP flood claims or, you know, automobile claims.
That's everything, really, Tim, when it comes to reinsurance and everything else. Is it not that it would have been, I guess, maybe, had it been a catastrophic storm with wind and hail and storm wind and storm damage would have been something else. But the fact that this falls on the flood insurance program doesn't help with that, but it does mean a lot as far as reinsurance.
Well, it does. I mean, the reinsurance markets, this is being tagged, I think it's called a low impact event as far as to reinsurance markets. So most of the damage, if it's property, it's either going to be within people's name storm deductible or the insurance company's specific retention. So it's not going to, should not impact the reinsurance market.
Let's talk about fraud and things that people need to watch out for, Tim, please.
Yeah, look, and that's really important. I mean, and I'll tell you this, you know, when I was down, like I said, in South Louisiana yesterday, we were in one of the parking lots, I think it was a Home Depot parking lot, where one of the insurance claim centers were set up, and we passed just a line of trucks and vehicles with just handwritten signs, and not to disparage any of our neighboring states, but these were not Louisiana license plate vehicles, but, you know, handwritten signs, you know, will do drywall repair, you know, cut out. Just, you know, people just trying to be opportunistic, and I want to remind people, you know, just cheap is cheap. And we need to remember that. But, you know, do business with reputable Louisiana-based companies. You know, make sure that they're licensed and contracted to do business in the state first and foremost. And look, like I said, if you suspect a red flag, then there probably is one. And I would remind people, too, that, solicitors that just come uninvited to your door, you know, be weary of those folks. You know what you need. They don't know what you need. So, you know, we've got some information on our website. We're doing public service announcements, trying to let people know that, you know, be careful of your stuff. I mean, this is your property. You know, you want to make sure and you take care of it and have someone that's doing the work take care of it.
And as you say that, I remember that I think it was during a game yesterday, I walked outside for a second and saw somebody in a Honda CR-V, of all things, with some kind of magnetic sign and a little yellow light on top that he had put on top of the car, talking about storm disaster disaster response team or something with the flashers on. It's like, what the hell? Well, where did you come from? What is all of this about? And I guess they call them storm chasers. They do kind of hit the areas no matter whether it's a hurricane, tornado, what have you, Tim.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're opportunistic, and you know, they know that sometimes people just need to get something done or feel like they have to have damage repaired. They're, you know, not capable of doing it themselves, and you know, they fly in and they come in as about as quick as the hurricane winds do. And look, as soon as when they've got your money, whether they've done the work or not, they're gone. And you know, we've got to protect the consumers and the citizens of that. And look, I need to say that, you know, the Department of Justice, Attorney General Liz Merle's folks, they're out there letting people know, you know, to look for and be aware of fraudsters. And Tommy, something else worth mentioning too is I just got over the weekend, I was told by my Department of Insurance fraud unit, there are these folks now that do this. It's called search engine optimization. And they make themselves appear to be insurance companies. Mm. You've got public adjusters and you've got law firms and that are out there. And on all appearances, you think you're dealing with an insurance company claim center. And you're actually dealing with either a public adjuster or a law firm or someone else that's trying to sign up people to represent them through their claims process. And look, if that's what you decide to do with eyes open, you know, then that's your decision. I think that you need to work with your insurance company first and foremost. But when people make that selection thinking that they're dealing with an insurance company and they're not, there's a problem there. And we were actually able to have Google shut down one of these websites because they were not who they were, you know, putting themselves out to be. So, you know, check and double check and verify who you're dealing with.
You know what? Maybe we can go through some of the best practices, if you can, Tim, to because you don't want to, you know, I don't think anybody wants to get, no disrespect to lawyers anywhere or public adjusters anywhere involved if they don't have to, right? Wouldn't it be more efficient, cheaper for everybody if they just went directly through the insurance company? I probably just angered a lot of people. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm just trying to think of the most efficient, best way to do this.
Well, look, I don't think that should anger anybody. I mean, look, there's a time and place. You know, there are certainly times when you need, you know, if you have not been treated fairly and justly by your insurance company, if there is an adjuster that is not, doesn't think that they've represented all your damage accurately, you do have recourse there. But that shouldn't be the first step you take, because that does introduce, you know, what I call transactional friction, which is cost, additional cost. So, you know, look, insurance companies are in the business to pay claims, but when they don't, look, you know, the consumers also have an outlet with the Department of Insurance. That's part of our mission. If you're not being treated fairly, I mean, we get it all the time, and, you know, we can insert ourselves and find out why, we can investigate and find out why, you know, you think you're not being treated fairly, or if the company isn't treating you fairly, we can intercede on your behalf. So, look, like I said, you know, file your claim, you know, assess the damage, you know, verify it, document it, file it with the insurance company. And then once you start getting repair or, you know, get multiple quotes, if you've got damage, read that policy. And I know people are going to get tired of me saying that. And look, it's a complicated issue sometimes. And I do want to talk about, you'd asked last time about the name storm deductible, you know, whether one or two applies, so we can go into that.
Let me take a break, Tim, and we'll pick it up when we come back, all right? Because I got to get traffic in here, and we'll pick it up when we come back about that. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, our guest. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. And basically, if you got a contract between A and B, it's best to work it out between A and B, because if you get C involved, unless it's a benevolent organization, they're going to want some money. And at some point, Tim called it transactional friction. somebody's got to get paid out of somewhere, and it's going to wind up costing somebody more money when, in fact, maybe it's not necessary, unless there's a problem. 821 traffic now, WWL.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
826, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Louisiana Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. So last week I had asked Tim about making a claim even if the amount of damage didn't come close to touching the deductible and if they kept a running total during hurricane season or not. Right, Tim? How does that work? Do you know?
Yeah, that's right. And Tommy, first, you know, I need to say, you know, last year, I think it was last November, my predecessor had put out a notice trying to help people understand that issue because I read over it. It's very wordy and that's one of the issues we're talking about. You know, insurance contracts. I mean, it is legalese, right? And I certainly understand how sometimes people just get overwhelmed. So we're actually going to take a crack in trying to make that a lot more clear. But generally speaking, in Louisiana, we have you were subject to one named storm deductible for the hurricane season. So if you were to have filed a claim for this one, even if it didn't exceed your deductible, any of that damage would count toward if we were to unfortunately have another event this year. So one deductible for the hurricane season.
And the devil's in the details. We're talking about year meaning hurricane season, correct?
That's correct. And look, each policy is worded a little differently, so that's why I always say read your policy. And again, call your agent, sit down with them, have them explain it, and go over it in detail until you feel comfortable understanding how it works. But also, look, like I said, if any consumers ever have any questions, they can call the Department of Insurance, and we can sit down and walk them through that on their specific policy.
Tim, let me get the two texts here real quick because it's from different numbers, and they came in back to back. One says, asking a commissioner what the cost of lawsuits was for Ida. We all pay for insurance lawsuits that were unnecessary. The next one says, too many cases where insurance companies are unfair with their insurers. How is being proactive in hiring a lawyer transactional interference? Texts from different ends of the spectrum that are truth probably somewhere in the middle. Talk about that, if you will. And I guess what you're saying is try to work it out with your insurance company without bringing in a third party. Am I putting words in your
right
mouth or not?
Yeah, look, I mean, looking at the numbers from Ida, I mean, the percentage of claims that had litigation, had attorney involvement in litigation, was way above historical. So, and that started with Laura, then Delta, Zeta, and Ida. So what the actual trend, what that cost to people, I mean, that's one of the things that we're working through with the insurance industry and trying to get the attorneys that were involved in these claims, too, to also come forward and provide some information. So I'd love to have conversations and try and be able to give hard numbers on that. But as far as the second comment there, I like the way you phrased it before. I mean, if you can resolve your issue between parties A and B, that's better than bringing in C because, like you said, someone's going to bear that additional burden. And if it's the insurance company, they're eventually going to pass that back on to us as consumers through premium. So, try and work it out with your insurance company. But look, I've said this since I've ever been at the first time I've been asked this question. There are times when you need to hire an attorney, and you certainly should and can still in this state. I don't think you should do it for every single claim. I don't think that's being proactive. I mean, that's an assumption of guilt almost.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your time and your expertise. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. He's done some things to change up the insurance situation in the state. We'll see if it works. I hope it does. But he's owned it, which is to his credit. J.P. Morrell joins us when we come back. New Orleans City Council member. The Utility Committee is going to meet today to discuss the Francine response on all counts. We'll talk about that when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. 844, 16 to 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, to talk about the utility meeting that is being held today in the City Council chambers. How are you, J.P.?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tommy?
All right. Tell me about what you guys are going to talk about today or look at.
Basically, it's kind of an after-action report based upon what happened during Hurricane Francine. We'll have representatives from Sewage and Water Board, from Entergy New Orleans, as well as from the Office of Homeland Security. This is really kind of the first step in looking at several of the problems that came up during the event, and will be followed by another meeting on 9/24, which will be more of a full meeting. This is more of an emergency 2 hour, 2.5 hour after action report, and there'll be a more full day meeting at the end of the month.
Were you at the meeting at the airport with the governor and Mayor Cantrell and so forth?
I was at the briefing before the press conference, and I saw the exchange between the governor and the mayor.
How are you free to discuss how contentious was it? What was the point of contention?
It's extremely contentious. The mayor, as you may recall, Tommy, in 2022, the mayor decided that she wanted to make Entergy pay for the Sewage and Water Board power plant. Mm-hmm. That never actually happened. As you know, Entergy doesn't give away money. It loans you money at a high interest rate. Mm-hmm. The council ended up stepping up around the mayor, getting that money done. And because of the mayor's antics, the power plant that should have been up for this season is now in 2024. The primary contention the mayor had with the governor is, after she screwed the pooch during last session, as you may recall, at the end, she had a temper tantrum and cost us that gap funding. She once again went back to demanding that the governor essentially find the money for the $17 million local match for a federal grant to fund that power plant. And the governor kind of brushed it off, as probably he should, because local match, Tommy, isn't state match. It's local. Local means anything non-federal. The council has been working directly with the legislature, with Representatives Hilferty, Senator Harris, Senator Henry and Representative DeVilliers. We're going to find a way, the council and the legislature, to jointly find that match money. But once again, Tommy, these temper tantrums she has, last time it cost us a whole year on having that power plant live, which would have been desperately needed during Francine. The council is not going to let the mayor, having a temper tantrum with the governor, prevent us from getting that power plant online, because if she had her way and wanted to play chicken with the legislature and the governor again, it would go through next legislative session and the power plant wouldn't come online until 2026 or 2027. So that was the crux of it. The governor had some pointed comments about some communication issues with Sewage and Water Board, half of which were pretty much correct, and not all of it correct, but the mayor's primary focus was trying to needle him about money that is simply the state, St. Tammany, Kenner, Jefferson, a lot of different parishes were impacted by Hurricane Francine. All of them have needs, and all of them are going to be going to the state for requesting money. We are one of those parishes, and we're going to have to shoulder our portion of trying to get our power plant online. And simply having, like I said, a temper tantrum or a staring match or a game of chicken with the state, trying to make them fully pay for something that's partially a local obligation, just a waste of time, and this atypical of not having the sense of urgency of getting this power plant online as soon as possible.
I don't want to focus on this a lot, but just from what I read and from what I hear and from what you tell me, in what imaginary zone does she think she accomplishes anything by taking on the governor in that setting? How did she see that playing out? You understand what I'm saying, JP?
I think the mayor, this is purely conjecture because I don't know what's right. going on with the mayor, but I feel like she thinks that when she's fighting, that's when she's at her best, and that's when people feel like she's being her best self. And there are times, I mean, during Fair Share, that was a fight between the legislature and the mayor fighting with the different groups to get that money. And that was, there are times where a fight is necessary, but the reality is this. We are short about $30, $34 million for this power plant. The money was there. The mayor and the sewage and water board had a temper tantrum at the end of the session and screwed the pooch on that moment where that money was there. Since session is gone, lots of different things are competing for money. We're working with the state legislature and the governor. We found $17 million with a matching grant, 17 and 17, to pay for this plant. And we can get there. To your point, there's no way in the nine hells a mayor of a city in the state of Louisiana can demand of a governor to prioritize their city over all the other cities that are hurting. That has never worked and will never work. And what's frustrating is that it's not like the legislature and the governor aren't working with us. They helped us identify the grant, the federal grant, to get us halfway there. And they're helping us get the matching $17 million. We're just going to have to put up some money too. But once again, the council's doing this around the mayor. And I want to highlight this one point, Tommy, because it's very important. What really makes the council and the public extremely frustrated is that when we do ultimately do this around the mayor, you're going to see the mayor's allies in the business community pretend like it was her leadership. This city is succeeding despite the mayor, not because of her at this time.
I got to believe the overarching thought at that moment was read the room, right? I mean, yes?
I mean, you saw there were representatives from Kenner who were very upset because obviously there was some pumping challenges at the airport. And their commentary was not really very critical. It was like, hey, we need better communication with the airport. The mayor and the airport kind of jumped up and got very defensive. And everyone were kind of like, calm down. No one's blaming anyone for this. As you saw during Francine, one of the biggest issues we had in the city with our utilities, with government, was poor communication. And it's a reoccurring issue. I know that Councilmember DeRusso has some stuff he's going to do with energy regarding communication, working on some stuff with sewage and water. But the poor communication is really, I mean, obviously the failures aside, but that's the big thing. Failures here, but communication and lack of communication and poor communication makes those things infinitely worse. Because during times of crisis, people need to believe that government and the entities that control their fate are going to be honest and communicative. And during this crisis, those things did not happen. So when things did go wrong, people were finding out in these haphazard ways. I mean, when you look at every other parish government, Tommy, there was unified messaging. Cynthia Lee Shing was on TV every day talking about what's going on hour by hour during the event. We had four different groups within the city of New Orleans giving contradictory information. And there was, other than individual elected officials like the council president who kind of went on her own to share what she had, there was no centralized messaging giving people information on a regular basis. And as you know, all of the news stations, all the radio stations had zero communication with Sewage and Water Board,
yep,
who was not present or not available, which was very, very problematic because at times of flooding, that's the number one group who should be volunteering information on a real-time basis to let everyone know what's going on. And the fact that they were not present, and it goes back to when you had the Mylar balloon scandal where it knocked out the water supply, it's a reoccurring theme. You cannot be in charge of drinking water and draining toilets from homes and just go MIA like a turtle into its shell when bad things happen. That's the time where you come forward and you're honest with people. Jefferson Parish's system got overwhelmed the exact same time we did, but they were telling people in real time, our system's overwhelmed, here are the steps we're taking, here's how we're addressing it. That builds trust with the people who are in their homes watching water rise. When you just go radio silent, it's terrifying, and it's not acceptable.
Let me ask you, JP, about Entergy and a response, Entergy New Orleans and a response, and something, anything. 844 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, to talk about the utility meeting that is being held today in the City Council chambers. How are you, JP?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tommy?
All right. Tell me about what you guys are going to talk about today or look at.
Basically, it's kind of an after-action report based upon what happened during Hurricane
Francine. We'll have representatives from Sewage and Water Board, from Entergy New Orleans, as well as from the Office of Homeland Security. This is really kind of the first step in looking at several of the problems that came up during the event. And will be followed by another meeting on 9/24, which will be more of a full meeting. This is more of an emergency two and a half hour after action report, and there'll be a more full day meeting at the end of the month.
Were you at the meeting at the airport with the governor and Mayor Cantrell and so forth?
I was at the briefing before the press conference, and I saw the exchange between the governor and the mayor.
How are you free to discuss how contentious was it? What was the point of contention?
It's extremely contentious. The mayor, as you may recall, Tommy, in 2022, the mayor decided that she wanted to make Entergy pay for the Sewage and Water Board power plant. Mm-hmm. That never actually happened. As you know, Entergy doesn't give away money. It loans you money at a high interest rate. Mm-hmm. The council ended up stepping up around the mayor, getting that money done. And because of the mayor's antics, the power plant that should have been up for this season is now in 2024. The primary contention the mayor had with the governor is after she screwed the pooch during last session, as you may recall, at the end, she had a temper tantrum and cost us that gap funding. She once again went back to demanding that the governor essentially find the money for the $17 million local match for a federal grant to fund that power plant. And the governor kind of brushed it off, as probably he should, because local match, Tommy, isn't state match. It's local. Local means anything non-federal. The council has been working directly with the legislature, with Representatives Hilferty, Senator Harris, Representative Henry, Senator Henry and Representative DeVillier. We're going to find a way, the council and the legislature, to jointly find that match money. But once again, Tommy, these temper tantrums she has, last time it cost us a whole year on having that power plant live, which would have been desperately needed during Francine. The council is not going to let the mayor having a temper tantrum with the governor prevent us from getting that power plant online, because if she had her way and wanted to play chicken with the legislature and the governor again, it would go through next legislative session and the power plant wouldn't come online till 2026 or 2027. So that was the crux of it. The governor had some pointed comments about some communication issues with Sewage and Water Board, half of which were pretty much correct, and not all of it correct, but the mayor's primary focus was trying to needle him about money that is simply the state, St. Tammany, Kenner, Jefferson, a lot of different parishes were impacted by Hurricane Francine. All of them have needs, and all of them are going to be going to the state for requesting money. We are one of those parishes, and we're going to have to shoulder our portion of trying to get our power plant online. And simply having, like I said, a temper tantrum or a staring match or a game of chicken with the state, trying to make them fully pay for something that's partially a local obligation, just a waste of time and this atypical of not having the sense of urgency of getting this power plant online as soon as possible.
I don't want to focus on this a lot, but just from what I read and from what I hear and from what you tell me, in what imaginary zone does she think she accomplishes anything by taking on the governor in that setting? How did she see that playing out? You understand what I'm saying, JP?
I think the mayor, this is purely conjecture because I don't know what's right. going on with the mayor, but I feel like she thinks that when she's fighting, that's when she's at her best, and that's when people feel like she's being her best self. And there are times, I mean, during Fair Share, that was a fight between the legislature and the mayor, fighting with the different groups to get that money. And there are times where a fight is necessary, but the reality is this. We are short about $30, $34 million for this power plant. The money was there. The mayor and the Sewage and Water Board had a temper tantrum at the end of the session and screwed the pooch on that moment where that money was there. Since session is gone, lots of different things are competing for money. We're working with the state legislature and the governor. We found $17 million with a matching grant, 17 and 17, to pay for this plant. And we can get there. To your point, there's no way in the nine hells a mayor of a city in the state of Louisiana can demand of a governor to prioritize their city over all the other cities that are hurting. That has never worked and will never work. And what's frustrating is that it's not like the legislature and the governor aren't working with us. They helped us identify the grant, the federal grant, to get us halfway there. And they're helping us get the matching $17 million. We're just going to have to put up some money, too. But once again, the council's doing this around the mayor. And I want to highlight this one point, Tommy, because it's very important. What really makes the council and the public extremely frustrated is that when we do ultimately do this around the mayor, you're going to see the mayor's allies in the business community pretend like it was her leadership. This city is succeeding despite the mayor, not because of her at this time.
I got to believe the overarching thought at that moment was read the room, right? I mean, yes?
I mean, you saw there were representatives from Kenner who were very upset because obviously there was some pumping challenges at the airport. And their commentary was not really very critical. It was like, hey, we need better communication with the airport. The mayor and the airport kind of jumped up and got very defensive. And everyone of them were kind of like, calm down. No one's blaming anyone for this. As you saw during Francine, one of the biggest issues we had in the city with our utilities, with government, was poor communication. And it's a reoccurring issue. I know that that council member Geruso has some stuff he's going to do with energy regarding communication, working on some stuff with sewage and water. But the poor communication is really, I mean, obviously the failures aside, but that's the big thing. Failures here, but communication and lack of communication and poor communication makes those things infinitely worse. Because during times of crisis, people need to believe that government and the entities that control their fate are going to be honest and communicative. And during this crisis, those things did not happen. So when things did go wrong, people were finding out in these haphazard ways. I mean, when you look at every other parish government, Tommy, there was unified messaging. Cynthia Lee Shing was on TV every day talking about what's going on hour by hour during the event. We had four different groups within the city of New Orleans giving contradictory information. And there was, other than individual elected officials like the council president who kind of went on her own to share what she had, there was no centralized messaging giving people information on a regular basis. And as you know, all of the news stations, all the radio stations had zero communication with Sewage and Water Board, who was not present or not available, which was very, very problematic because at times of flooding, that's the number one group who should be volunteering information on a real-time basis to let everyone know what's going on. And the fact that they were not present, and it goes back to when you had the Mylar balloon scandal where we knocked out the water supply, it's a reoccurring theme. You cannot be in charge of drinking water and draining toilets from homes and just go MIA like a turtle into its shell when bad things happen. That's the time where you come forward and you're honest with people. Jefferson Parish's system got overwhelmed the exact same time we did, but they were telling people in real time, our system's overwhelmed, here are the steps we're taking, here's how we're addressing it. That builds trust with the people who are in their homes watching water rise. When you just go radio silent, it's terrifying, and it's not acceptable.
Let me ask you, JP, about Entergy and a response, Entergy New Orleans and a response, and something, anything that got your attention, your thoughts on it right now.
The biggest issue that we're going to address today is the assessment. So as you know, after a hurricane passes through a wind event, they have to do assessments, and assessments lead to them turning back on the system. There was a huge delay with the assessment. It was basically a 24-hour period where they were continually assessing. And I understand we want our linemen to be safe, and when the winds are high, they can't be out there. But that assessment delay, people weren't getting estimated times until 24 hours after their power was out as to when the power would come back online. That is not acceptable. The assessments have to go faster. The linemen have to go out sooner. And people need to know in real time. I mean, there are people that I was helping this last week who were like, had they told me, yes, your power will be out for 2 days, I would have stayed with a friend. I would have taken my family, taken my elderly neighbor, taken my dog, went somewhere else. I'm sitting here staring at my phone, and it says estimated time pending. And historically, Tommy, you know, with energy, that could be 5 minutes from now, that could be 4 hours, it could be a day. You don't know. So you don't want to necessarily uproot yourself if it's about to come on. Those assessments, that delay, A, it led to people not be able to make decisions, and B, it really created a delay from my perspective, the linemen getting out there and doing their job.
One thing I'd like to know, I did ask the spokesperson if repairs were going to be going on before the assessment was completed, and I think she told me yes, but to think that nothing would happen until the complete assessment was in, that doesn't seem very efficient to me.
We'll get those answers today, Tommy, when we're doing that after-action report as far as, but it's going to be an ongoing issue we're going to have to deal with for the next couple of weeks, and the 24th meeting will be more robust. Today is really just getting the information.
If anybody can get to the bottom of it, it's you. Thank you, sir. J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council Member at Large, 855, coming on 856, Traffic Now, WWL.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.